What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dad Strides podcast, the running podcast all about getting those tired dad legs moving again. I am your newest dad host, Caleb Babcock.
And it's your favorite dad, Niles. And today we got a longer one for you, running through a bunch of topics.
Just a bunch.
You know, turkey trot. We're talking about, we're answering some questions.
Yep. And then we have, we got a special guest. Oh, my waveforms are peaking. Classic.
That's classic.
We have a special guest.
He says that every single time. We've never done this where he hasn't said those exact words. My waveforms are peaking. Which, if you don't know anything about sound, they're like, whoa, what is that even? Like, my waveforms are peaking.
It's actually a surf term that sound people then took. No, at the end of this, we are going to call up Nick Sept, our buddy who has been mentioned on the pod in the past. He's an absolute Strider legend, listener of the pod, and he just finished his first 100-miler on his third attempt, I think. So
we are going to hear it from Nick on how it went. Stories from the trail, you know, from actually doing a 100-mile race, kind of the penultimate goal of trail running.
Absolutely.
Is running, not even kind of, 100. It is 100 miles.
Triple digis.
Trip digis
goes.
I didn't have it. I thought I had a bar there. I didn't have a bar. Dang it. That's okay.
Hey, how was, speaking of a report from the trail, how was the turkey trot?
Yeah, so
that's what
cool
people are dying to hear about.
Nick Sept ran his sick race. I ran my sick race too. It's a 5K. Yeah, I guess we can start there. Start right with a little race recap. First of all, my dreams of being the sick, dialed family rolling up to the 5K on the morning of Thanksgiving were fulfilled. It was tight. It was so cool. It was just like I need to find another word besides fratty to describe that essence, because to me it does feel kind of fratty. It's like this group, you know, you're wearing matching shirts, you're showing up together, you're walking down. It's not really fratty, but there's something so amazing about it that I just love. And if you listen to the last episode, we kind of go into context. I was an only child. I always looked at families who did turkey trots as like, dude, those families are so dialed.
Yeah.
So it felt cool to be a dialed ass family. We waited in line to take a photo, to take a photo in front of like the turkey trot sign. I got a sick photo of Towns striding, and Lou, my daughter, who's almost five, almost ran the whole Gobble Wobble, which is a mile, which is pretty cool.
Whoa.
She also fell so hard. Dude, okay, the Gobble Wobble is a complete bloodbath for kids, dude.
Whoa.
The guy at the start was like, okay, let's not get any pileups this year. And I was like, what is he talking about, pileups? Dude, the amount of kids who eat shit within the first like 100 meters is absurd, dude. It is crazy.
Because are they just sprinting all out? And then,
dude, there's no pacing. Every kid just takes off, like ripping and roaring, and they run into each other. They also run sideways, because when they're running like this, they're looking for their mom and
parents.
Dad. Yeah, they're like trying to find like their family. Yeah. And people got strollers. Like, dude, it was absolute carnage. Go to a Gobble Wobble just for the sheer spectacle of watching children fall, because it is really funny to me.
Did you guys get your shirts like the day before?
We had my mother-in-law go and pick up the bibs. You know, the kids got their first bib number, which was sick. And yeah, it was just super cool. We definitely are a turkey trot family. And what's funny is later that day, I saw a meme that was like, oh, like, God bless all the people who didn't realize they married into a turkey trot family. And I just laughed. I was like, that's literally the goal. Like, being a turkey trot family is the tightest thing ever. It's like, it's a symbol of just so many other great things about that.
Did
family.
You see a lot of dads out there? Like, also,
so
like,
many dads, dude.
Like, turkey trot dialed ass family dads.
Yeah. So the dude, I think the dude who won ran like a sub 5 minute 5K, like really fast.
Yeah.
Here, I'll pull up my stats really quick, because I know everyone's dying to know how I did.
Yeah. I want to hear your approach. We heard your approach a little bit, but like, how did it actually go down?
So let's get into the race. You know, I felt pretty good the morning of. I haven't really been training. I've probably been running like maybe like 8 to 12 miles a week, slow, like not fast.
Right.
So the first thing I realized within the first mile is my legs don't, like, there is no turnover with
these legs. They don't move.
These legs are not moving.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't feel that tired, I was like, dude, I feel like my legs are concrete. I did do like the sprinter fast, I'm fast kind of warm up where you like do high knees and like kick your feet against the ground.
Yeah.
I was feeling all tight. I liked my fit. Like, the fit was dialed.
Nice.
I'm not really into the turkey trot shirt, but I had to keep it fratty for the family,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So my chip time was a 2:22.53, which was a 7:21 mile, placing me 134th overall out of 3,400 people. 90th male out of 1,547, and then 14th in my age group.
Dude, imagine imagine if they had, like, out of all the dads, you were like the fourth, fifth dad.
Yeah, totally. Like, be the sickest dad ever.
Actually, at a turkey trot, is probably like, well, you're the 88th dad. They're all
so
dads.
It says out of all males, 30 to 34, which is crazy that I'm getting to the top end of that. I'll be 34.
Bro, 7:21 average is honestly, bro, not bad for not running fast and only running 8 to 12 miles a week. A 7:21 average for 3 miles. That's pretty good.
So my PR.
Dad's fit,
5K,
bro.
I've never tried to PR a 5K, but I went and re-downloaded Strava just for this purpose to see all my best times. My best 5K is a 21:22, which is a 6:53 average, which is like, that's not slow. That's like a decent 5K.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, if you could get under 21, get in the 20s, like, that would be sick.
Yeah.
That'd be really sick.
I think your calves might have actually been working for you.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I felt pretty bad, but the time wasn't horrible. Dude, I came so close to going full Floberg puke sesh at the end. Like, and I also got passed by, like, this old
Floberg
guy.
Puke sesh.
I got passed by, like, an old guy. Now, I chalked it up in my mind, like, he started way before him. He's
respect,
in the first wave.
Respect.
I got passed by an old guy.
Wait, did you run your miles pretty even split, or were you, like, wait, did you go out hot?
So, I'm pretty sure I came out a little hot. but that was my whole thing, is I wanted to come out a little hot, see how I felt, and then gauge the next 2 miles. The second mile is definitely my slowest because I realized I was going to be effed if I tried to keep running fast. So then I was like, I'm literally not going to finish. So then I was like, okay, let's chill out a little bit. I forgot I don't have Strava, so I can't even look at my splits. But basically, first mile came out kind of quick. I think I ran like a 7-minute mile that mile. Mm-hmm. And then I think my second mile was like a 7:40. And then my third mile with that little extra buffer was like mid sevens or something like that.
I thought you were gonna drop the trot on Strava as like your first post back.
I was, but then I had to relink my watch to Strava, and then it like didn't work, and I was just like, whatever.
And my
initial thought was like, I'm gonna re-download Strava when I start like training again, and I'm like not really there yet.
Yeah.
I don't think, because we can go into like how we are. I guess enough of me talking. You finally ran 20 miles in a week, which used to be nothing, and now is apparently
now
a spectacle.
It's something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I finally got healthy. I got rid of this sickness, whatever I was dealing with for like 3.5 weeks, and I literally was like, I got to heal up, gave myself some time, and now we're back, baby. I hit like 5K avert and 25 miles last week. I had 2 runs. We had the Thanksgiving holiday, so no work for those couple days. I got to go out one morning with my buddy Levi, and then another day I just went, I think like Wednesday, I went out and did trails by myself too, which was just so fulfilling, running a little bit slower, but like building the strength. So I'm feeling honestly decent because I'm trying to keep the heart rate right around like 150, like 155, and I feel like
why didn't you do a 5K again
on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, like why didn't you do a turkey trot?
I looked them up. There was one, but I was like not trying to go spend $35. Ariana wasn't into it. Their kids are sick, and I was like, okay, so I'll go out there and probably get injured if I try to run hard. And
oh yeah,
also,
my
dude,
calves were so sore.
Yeah, you're up on your toes. Like it's just I'm building a foundation right now. I'm literally laying concrete on the base of dirt, and I'm building the house from that. So I ain't going out to race like some fast thing right now.
Right.
I will say, and ankles are feeling good. I'm at a spot where I don't want to jinx it because I'm always, you know, injury prone. So it's just like, okay, keep it easy.
Just generally weak.
Keep it steezy. Generally weak. And next week, so this week I'll try to hit like 2025 again.
Okay.
Next week we are in Florida for a job together.
Yeah, so we'll be running next week together.
I'm going to try to definitely keep that same momentum going, and then maybe we can like make some dad strides. Instagram posts. Yeah,
which usually for our shoots, we're rocking like 12-hour days. For this one, we're rocking 10-hour days. So essentially,
I think we'll have some morning runs, but it's also hot in Florida. But I did want to ask you. Okay, like now that you're like, you got a little bit humbled. I feel like your post, you said something like, whoa, I got to get fit again. Or like, you clearly were like, I'm gassed.
Yeah. It was just very humbling to like try to run fast and like feel like I am at a threshold of complete destruction.
Yeah.
And finishing and being like, whew, like that did not feel good at all. It felt good to be like exert myself, but it just didn't feel good to like, wow. I ran a 7:21 minute 5K average. Like we know people who are running way faster than that for 26 miles. Like that is like, yeah. I know like comparisons to Stealer of All Joy.
Yeah.
It's training. But at the end of the day, like it was just like,
dude,
wow.
A lot of
like,
people out there, for sure. I think a lot of people out there would be happy to run a 7:21 5K average. I'm not kidding. It's like in the sevens is still a,
right,
it's a good
and where
barrier.
You're at in your running journey is that's what makes it special, is because you're always trying to get better, and there's always someone faster, there's always someone slower. That's just like how it is. But I feel like for where I've been fitness wise, to then run that and be like, dang, that was pretty
I think
tough.
You pull into your just general natural athletic ability when you're running.
My
or
expectations
doing anything.
For myself are just high. Well, you I would dip, say generally.
Yeah, and whether you like are training or not, you have like a reserve of athleticism that you can just like go into.
Right. Or but. I like to think that I have that, but I can tell it's fading away as I get older. Like you like go to do something you haven't done in a while and you're like, why does this not feel natural anymore?
I don't trust. Yeah, I like jumping down a couple stairs. You're like, I don't trust my ankles.
Yeah.
Did you rock short shorts?
I rocked a pair. I don't know what shorts I wore actually, but I'm kind of establishing a decent running fit these days. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get rid of some shorts. I splurged on a couple Black Friday Stance running shirts, which I'm excited about. Sarah bought me a pair of Lulu, which I was very anti ever buying Lulu again, but whatever. It's been a couple years. She bought a pair of Lulu running shorts for me that are like absolute butter on the ball sack. It is like those things are delicious. Like it is like you Whoa. Put those on, it's like wow,
butter on the sack, dude.
Butter on the sack, dad's back. You know, oh. Yeah, there's bars.
Clip it.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and throw that on reels.
So okay, so going from that, like I'm feeling in a decent spot. Like, remember our first episode or second episode? We said potentially January 1, we want to do a 100-mile week.
Yeah,
where,
I'm way
where
off
are we
of
at
that.
With that?
Yeah,
where
I'm
are we
way
at with
off
that?
Of that. Yeah, I don't think I'm close to that at all. I think what I want to do is I kind of want to. Trying to run fast again got me excited. So I think right
You've
now.
You've said
what,
this before.
You I know
this
I have,
before.
But
yeah.
I've done it, and then I went and ran a half marathon, and I got my PR in a half marathon. It's like I've,
but no,
I've
you're, and your in your reasoning was that like you train less time, but you,
yes,
it's a denser, more
it's like,
intense.
It's more of a dense workout. It also leaves a lot more room for doing like other workouts. You know, surfing is still like the thing I do for fun that doesn't really have any effect on my fitness, just because in surfing you just hit a threshold of fitness that you never really go past. Like it's hard the first time you do it, everyone complains about how tired their arms are. Mm-hmm. After you do it 20 times, like you don't really get tired, you don't really get stronger. So I feel like it'd be fun to try to run fast, which is basically, I don't really know how I would do it, but I want to mix in other things. Like I want to still go work out in the mornings with Soul Patrol. I just traded some gear for a mountain bike. I want to start mountain biking. So I want to get like the legs strong.
I feel like
I don't want to spend 9 hours a week running.
So I feel like what you, but you also, it's like, okay, you want to be fast.
Also, I'm sick.
You,
so sorry. I'm like kind of blowing my nose and stuff.
Sick. You're sick. You want to like train for a fast 5K, not a fast half marathon again, because that's still like long distance. You want to go like shorter distance, but speedy.
Yeah, it's like it would be fun for my next goal to be like, let's PR 5K. If my PR is 21, what was it? 21, 22?
Yeah, I think.
21, 22. I was like, okay, let's try to run sub 21 half marathon. Like if you're in a 20:40, like that's, you're probably looking at like a 6:30.
No, you should run like a 19:59. Break 20. That's a cool number.
That is a really cool number, but that's also cutting a lot of time for dad.
Yeah.
But either way, it's kind of like, okay, let's train fast for a 5K. That means like, let's go do hill sprints instead of going for a long run. Yeah, and then let's actually go to Swole Patrol and like do a bunch of like
high
intensity cardio.
You got to get those fast twitch muscles. You got to get those fast twitch muscles activated.
And like, let's start, jump rope for 20 minutes. Or I don't know. I mean, I haven't done any research on this, but I was like, I think that's where my head is going is let's try to run fast.
Yeah.
And feel sick. You got to get the chain out, obviously. The chain was out during the 5K.
Bro, what if you spend a whole year? What if you spend a whole year training for next year's turkey trot?
That'd be pretty funny.
Like, what would you even do? I guess it'd just be way too much time.
It'd be way. I mean, yeah, you'd get so bored. But I would like to rip next year's race. That also came
okay. So okay. So next year, maybe. Okay, I'll definitely commit to like doing one next year, and then.
Thank you.
And like doing some, 400 repeats going into it, get the legs turning over. I want to say I'm still open for potentially doing that at the beginning of the year. What if, I want the 100 miles a week. So it's more just like, it sounds cool. It's just more for me, like physically, I could get through it. It's more just like, hey, family, like see ya 2 hours a day.
Yeah, totally.
Like it's kind of rough in that regard, but
well,
it sounds
like
tight.
I just like am not willing. What I realized, I love the idea. I love the idea of being really fit. I love the idea of being really fit.
Right.
I don't love the idea of only running, that being my only hobby. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Like I love to surf. I just got a mountain bike. I would love to go. I have trails right outside that window. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I would love to go mountain bike. Those things. You know, biking helps build fitness, which is great. I run a little bit. I do some stroller miles, and then I squeeze in some like some bigger efforts. And
so we have to change the name of the podcast.
No, dude. Yeah, right. It'll be Dad Shreds Forever. It's just dad vibes, dude.
Dad rides.
Dad shreds.
Dad rides is a. You know, if someone else wants to take that out there, go for it. If you're
dad,
not
everyone who listens. You know, is committed to running as their only hobby. I'll definitely sign up for another race. And that's when that chunk of time I'll commit to running. But what I'm saying is right now, with nothing on the books, I am not committing all my time to running. I am committing my time to just whatever fun hobby. Whatever hobby sounds fun.
100 mile weeks is off the books.
It's not off the books, but it's just like I might not do it first week of January.
Right.
Or I might walk.
Okay, okay. It still might be on the books.
No. Okay, okay. So
I want a challenge. I want a challenge to start off the year.
So 2024. Cool. 2024 would love to run 100 mile week because that sounds fun.
Okay.
Would love to run a 50K and would love to PR in a 5K.
There is this our like? This is our goals episode. Okay, cool. Let's say. I guess you said run 100 mile week, PR in the 5K.
Yeah. And then sign up for a 50K race, like another organized 50K.
Okay. I want to do, and it's actually kind of weird even saying it, but like I want to do a 100 mile race. Ugh. I think I should just do it in 2024.
Oh,
I've said that.
We need, and my fourth goal is to go to Western States.
Oh like, my gosh. That like, would be like icing on the cake. Go and
let's talk
out,
to
make
Ryan
some,
from
make some content.
Let's go make something. It'd be fun.
We should. Yeah, we could self-fund a little crusty trip out there and just roll. That'd be so fun.
It would be so fun.
We just need like
it'd be
the
fun to
media
make a project.
I think we just have to have media passes somehow. But if it's like, we pick a couple runners. But speaking of which, this Saturday, I think the lottery is, that's when they do that
really?
Big live lottery. So like any potential friends we might have that are good luck. I had one ticket in it last year. I did not run a qualifier for this year. If I did have run a qualifier at some point this year, I would still have one ticket in. It's like, and
so
then
you have no tickets right now.
No tickets because I didn't run a qualifying race.
Oh, right.
In the same
Black Canyon
year.
Because your Black Canyon blow up. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you want to run Black Canyon again? Don't you want? Your,
yeah. But yeah, it's in February. So dude, and there was like some big news in the trail running world. Like after that whole Gary Robbins, like Whistler thing, basically a week later, almost there was like a new organization that started called like the Trail World Majors, and Black Canyon's now on that. It's like 9 trail running events across the whole world, all independent race directors, but they've formed to be like,
they like formed a union kind of thing.
Yeah, they formed a thing where it's like, it seems like a little bit of a slap back to like, hey, UTMB, like go eat it a little bit.
Oh,
like
super interesting.
We are starting like another kind of an organized, just like a group thing, but like the races on it are pretty iconic. And it just, I think they're keeping more of that core trail running culture a little bit more. But Black Canyon is one of the races on that. So it's going to become like a kind of a pinnacle race, which it already is because it's a golden ticket race. But
right.
Dude, okay. So I have some news, though, which brings me to this week's this week's Ridge Report for the week. I haven't told you this because I wanted to wait for the pod. I was saving for the pod. But, dude,
oh my gosh,
I bought another treadmill.
No, you didn't. Why?
Okay, hear me out. A couple of reasons. Ariana said she was interested in doing like this, like walking every day for 30 minutes at an incline. So I was like, you're going to laugh at this too. Because then I was like, okay, so I used to have a treadmill, got rid of it when we were going to maybe sell our house. And then I kind of was like, oh, I like it again. But I had this gym membership, and I'll go hit it up there sometimes. And then I was like, okay, fine. Well, let's give it a try. We're going to sell the Peloton bike. And then...
Oh, what? So you sold your I'm rich toy.
And I bought an I'm richer toy. This treadmill, bro, retails for $3,200.
What?
Because, and I said, this is the only treadmill I was going to buy. I don't even know the model. It's like, it's the Nordotrack X22 or something like that. It does a 40 degree incline. So I can basically, bro, so it's like, crazy. But I got it off Craigslist for, and this model, I wasn't going to buy another tread, but this model, I was like, okay, I'll get it again. if I can find this one for a deal. So I found it for $1,000, which is crazy. It's still a lot, but bro, I can get like a 1,000-2,000 Vita vert on it, like in 30 minutes. Like it's actually kind of cool.
So it's kind of like a vert.
It does a decline. Like it angles down. So does it, anyways.
Whoa.
I have another I'm rich toy, and the Peloton is going.
Treadmills are so
out.
Boring.
So that was my big Ridge report. But basically now I can do training where I actually feel like I just go really slow and go at a crazy steep incline and try to just get freaking these ridges firing again. Right. On vert, baby.
My Ridge report already spoiled, but it's that I basically traded some gear for a mountain bike, and it's a Nolly Warden, which is apparently a Canadian company. It's full suspension, it's blue, and that's all I know about it. I am like fully getting into a sport that I know nothing about. Like,
that's
I don't
crazy.
Know anything about pedals. I don't know anything about like riding. I mean, I can ride a bike, but it's like I haven't like bombed a hill on, or like bombed like single track on a mountain bike ever. Like I've never done this. But when I was living in Montana skiing, everyone who was good at skiing, everyone mountain biked in the summer, but it was just always too expensive. It's like, did I have like $4,000 to go like dump into this? And I still don't really want to spend that money, but the gear trade worked out to where the bike is being sent to me this week, and I have hills right over here. So like now it's kind of like I have surfing, I have running, and I have mountain biking. Now
that's
what's cool about mountain biking is that, like, dude, there are some dudes who mountain bike who are like, dude, the ridges are built and they can crush.
They crush.
It's really
vert.
Good fitness. And I remember that one time we were talking to that, we were on that craft call before we went to UTMB, and one of the pros who ended up actually getting injured, I believe, she said that she, for her big races, that she would actually put in a ton of bike time because it was easier on her legs and she could still build a lot of fitness without just running. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So then it's kind of like, if I get into mountain biking, that would be great and help running. Now, my biggest fear is that I hurt myself.
Right, right.
It's the falls on mountain bikes seem to be pretty big, but
yeah.
I also think, I don't know, it'll be fun. I'm really excited to try something that I am literally such a kook at, brand new. Going out by myself in these hills and not having a freaking clue. And
that's
fortunately,
tight,
I have some neighbors who are like, yeah, we'll go with you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go a couple times before I go with them. I'm literally too embarrassed.
No, that'll be tight. I mean, it's kind of like ski touring where it's just like the idea is like you earn your turns, you earn the downhill by climbing. So you have like you get fit. You don't just do it as like a downhill only kind of thing.
Right.
You're the whole approach is like it's fitness.
But the climbing looks
fun.
Hard, dude. The climbing looks so hard. Like it's you're low.
Usually
gear,
there's like
an
access road that people
right
or
right,
like
yeah.
It depends on the setup of the trail system.
I don't think you go up the single track. There's like the Forest Service road kind of style, and then you take the single track down. But dude, some of these trails I'm looking down, I'm like, dude, I'm scared to run down that.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, holy.
There was that one I showed you when we were at the Japanese Gulch, when I was like, dude, people ride down this and like immediate turn into a tree. It's so steep. I'm like, it could be fun. I'd rather do like the flowy stuff, like where it's like, I know how to ride a bike, but I think you'll get the hang of it probably pretty quick.
Basically, talking to our buddy, shout out to E21, Eric Hedberg. We used to work with him at Moment. I've been blowing him up with questions. He was saying that basically because of skiing, you're used to making quick decisions going fast. And it's similar to like running downhill. Like you're used to like making those decisions quickly, instinctually. But it's like once you trust the bike and like understand like the feeling of a bike, then it clicks. But until then, it feels so weird because it's like you don't have edges. You don't have, it's so different. So
are you going to get pads or just a helmet?
So I'm going to get a new helmet. I'm going to get the Gooch Saver shorts, which is basically like, because you'll never have a Gooch again if you don't, apparently. That's what I've been told. That's a direct quote from a buddy. He said your Gooch will cease to exist, which I thought maybe that's a good thing, but whatever. I'm gonna get gloves.
Right.
Because that seems good. So, and then I'm always going to wear a long sleeve shirt. That was one thing. They were like, don't wear short sleeve shirts just because if you do fall, like having like extra fabric just to like protect your skin is so good. And then that's it. And then I'll probably wear a pair of Vans, like skate shoes. Apparently, like those are totally fine. I thought about getting some knee pads, but I haven't looked at I don't want to spend a bunch of money. So I'm like looking at
budget. It starts to add up.
So I think the helmet, like the cheapest helmet that I would probably get is like $60. The POC ones are like $120. It's a little much. Gloves, that's like $15.
I have a POC helmet for my road bike, but it's not the mountain bike style. So I don't know if they're.
I have a POC helmet for skiing, but like I asked a buddy. I have a gold helmet that I wear.
Oh, dude, wear that.
To ride my I have a gold helmet to ride my e-bike.
Like a ProTech helmet, right?
That's a ProTech skate helmet.
Yeah.
And
those are sick.
And I asked my buddy, I was like, so like, is it like kind of kooky to wear this or like ultra mega kooky? And he was like, honestly, dude, like it's crazy kooky to wear that.
Wait, dude, just wear it. That's so sick.
No, dude, I'm not. I love that you think I'm self-confident enough to rock that. There is no chance that
bro,
I'm
bro, that
wearing.
Is so cool. If you wore that gold,
I had
to, I mean, I, yeah, you wear it on your e-bike,
on, like,
right?
I had to gauge it on like the KUKO meter. Yeah, but like when you're on your e-bike, I'm going surfing. Like I'm not riding an e-bike because I think it's cool. I'm riding an e-bike because it's like the quickest way down to the beach where no cars can go. But so the helmet's like $60. The gloves are like $15. The pants were like $30. Apparently it has commuter pedals on it. That's what Herrick said. So he's like, you'll need to get some
new
pedals.
You need like knobbier
grippers. Knobbier grippy pedals. He said you have to go and get the sag set of the suspension to your body weight, which apparently is just like a pump, but like I don't have that. And then he said, and then I went to the shop yesterday.
Get your sag set.
Yeah, I was like, sorry, dude, I don't have a sag tool handy.
what's sag? Screenwriters Guild.
Yeah.
Or Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, Screen Actors Guild. Yeah, I was gonna get my sag set, but they were on strike, so I couldn't get my sag set. And then a tune up or just like a once over of like brakes, derailleur, all that stuff was like $89 at the shop. So it's like, I traded the gear. I threw in a wetsuit too. So what's nice is like, it's gear that I just had laying around.
Yeah.
And then, $200. And then I'm on the trails for the first time. I've wanted to, for context, I've wanted to buy a mountain bike for probably since I was like 23. Like when I was leaving Montana, or like my final winter in Montana, I was like, next summer I was going to commit to it. And then I went to work at GoPro, so then I never got my other my
are
other
you going
summer.
To ride and paint your dog ride run next to you on the mountain bike
once I feel a little more confident? I don't want to kill my dog and I don't want him to kill me, so I'm a little bit like, the first couple times, like I'm not trying to have like this dumbass white dog like run in front of me and like send me over the handlebars, you know. I love my dog to death, but like he can stay at home for the first couple times, so I don't.
Dude, I just was thinking about all the words. You're like, I need to get my Gooch Savers and my SAG adjusted.
yeah.
I love mountain biking too.
Well, you know what's so funny is he's saying all these words, and I'm like, dang, this is like how we sound. Excuse me.
Right.
This is like how we sound when we talk about the things that we're into.
Yeah.
Like, what's the heel toe drop? Like, how does it have a carbon plate in it? Like all this stuff, and then you hear someone talk about a sport that you know nothing about, and you're like, what the frick does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny.
So I'm excited.
I want to get into, we asked last episode as well for some Q&A's.
Yeah.
Which, thank you for commenting on the YouTube video. If you're not already watching on YouTube, that's kind of where we're posting the videos. If you're listening, awesome. Thanks for listening. I actually listen to a lot of pods versus watching them, but if you're interested, we're trying to grow the YouTube channel and hit like and subscribe. But yeah, the cool, cool. The questions, I was going to say questions and comments. The questions were on that YouTube video. So here we go. Garmin versus Apple Watch from No PZ.
It's definitely Garmin.
Definitely Garmin.
Only because of the battery life. Like the Apple Watch has more features, but that battery, you just, yeah. You can't, you have to charge it every single day, which is super annoying. The Garmin, I would say I have to charge every like 5 days if I'm using GPS a lot, 4 days. And then the Coros lasts a month. So I think the answer is actually Coros.
Yeah, Coros.
But some not Apple Watch.
Yeah, Garmins are good. I think they're a lot cheaper than Apple Watches too. Like if you want the newest Apple Watch, I think it obviously does a lot more. But yeah, go strictly running GPS watch, whichever one you can afford. I would recommend the Coros Pace series. It's a really good like good entry level one, or any Garmin one. You still rock your Garmin, so
yeah. I've had the same Garmin since we started this podcast. I've changed the band on it like 7 times. Like the band and the rubber wears off because of the saltwater surfing. Just like all it just like eats at the
do
rubber.
You sleep with your watch on?
I never take it off unless I charge it. I sleep with it, everything. I love having like the body battery. I love having like the it tracking my sleep. Yeah, it's like you look at it and it's like it helps me if I start to feel sick or because my asthma, if I have like a wheezy night of sleep, then I go look at it and like it's just helpful to look at some data. Yeah.
I wonder if is it a good watch for mountain biking?
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
It'll probably track your Jeep.
I probably need like a specific mountain bike watch. It's like, fuck, dude.
It's like Apple Watch Ultra. Yeah. Favorite time of the day to run?
Morning, sure. Morning, you see the sunrise, not like super super early. Like I do like running early, but that's not like my favorite time to run. But I would say like the morning time is the best time to run for sure.
I will disagree with Niles on this one. I feel so good running just before dinner, like 4:30 to 5 o'clock. I don't know why, like if that's when every like race could start or hard effort. Like anytime I've set like a better effort on like a mountain trail or something, I'm just like,
it's been
evening. After a big lunch, let that settle, usually a little coffee.
Interesting.
I'm so awake and I just feel good. So yeah. I'll actually probably run this afternoon and I'll feel, except it's freezing cold out.
And I bailed on running today because I surfed. So.
But I think the necessity of learning to run first thing in the morning is most likely what you have to figure out in life or really late at night, like pre and post responsibilities.
If you're only trying to run during your favorite time, I think you're going to end up not running as much as you'd hope.
We have super flexible jobs, like pretty much the most flexible you can possibly have. And it's still hard to find time to run midday between like calls and family.
Well, I think midday is hard just because it's the hottest time of the day too. Like for me right now, it's like it's 67 degrees outside, but it's direct sun. There's not a cloud in the sky. So it's like if you're going a big effort and you start to get hot because of that direct sun.
But also when you get your run done early on in the day, you've set your day up
so
for like,
good.
That's almost worth the discomfort of like, but when you just, it's done and checked off, it feels proper. Next question.
Favorite running accessories. Okay. Well, my favorite one, obviously I've talked about, is having a chain. Having a chain, chains out. The chain out gang, you just feel, honestly what it is you see like a 100-meter sprinter and they all got their cool chains. I'm trying to channel that a little bit, you know.
He
like
is trying to go
fast.
full speed dad, dude.
It's like if you feel fast, maybe you'll run a little faster. I don't know.
Yeah. The chain's a pretty good accessory, unconventional.
I like my flip belt for sure. Like that's
I was
a
gonna
must
say,
have. Yeah.
The belt. So, I have the Naked brand and it's insanely good.
So he has the Naked brand. I have the flip belt, which is like a cloth version. I would say sometimes stuff falls out, but it's the most comfortable. Because then I have a Nathan version as well that has better pockets, but is not nearly as comfortable. But
handheld water bottle
really
too.
Good. Yeah. And then like a good pair of shoes.
And Niles running vape, obviously. That's your best accessory.
Yeah, yeah. Do I have it? No, I don't have it up here. And I would say sunglasses. Like one thing I've noticed that is like when it's really sunny, like you get like eye fatigue. Like if you're running and you're tired and you're just always squinting, like it just makes everything feel more difficult versus if your eyes and face can relax while you're running because of sunglasses, like that's massive.
Yeah, that was a good question, Connor. We've talked, I mean, obviously don't expect you to go listen back to all our old episodes, but we've talked about a bunch of random running like gear and stuff. I was going to say, this is a good question from Dan Graham. If money was no object, what would be your dad running fit from headwear all the way to the socks and shoes? Whoa.
I'd probably just go satisfy
all day.
Yeah, satisfy everything. I'd be like, yo, let's drop some LCD and let's go run a 5K.
LCD?
Or what is it? I don't even know the name. Oh, LSD. LSD. Yeah, let's drop some LSD and go run a 5K, y'all.
No, I feel like funny.
Who told us they were like they did a shoot or something with Satisfy and they were like just cracking up because like they always look so cool.
They always look like they're kind of tripping.
Yeah. It's like but they don't like ever. If you see a dude fully kitted, the chances of him running far are like very low. that's like there's like a bell curve of stees to like mileage, and then it as you get too styly, you start just running less.
I will say to their credit, they have pretty freaking good runners on their team.
Well, they have Michael Verstee or whatever. Yeah,
and they got this other like blonde
weird
dude,
but he rips.
That like model blonde dude, he actually. Really rips.
You just see them and you're like, that dude's a drug addict.
But
sure.
I do like, there's this one hat they have.
He's doing LCD, bro.
LCD, dude. LCD screens all over.
I feel dumb. That's so good.
I would go Satisfy hat. I think having one item from them would be tight. Their hat is cool.
Right. Ooh, and a then, bandit fit or Tracksmith fit.
I wouldn't, dude, too hype for me. I need like something a little more, like I like the Patagonia, North Face.
I'm a little more hypey.
Craft.
For sure.
I want a little bit of that like coreness to like, as I say, the biggest brands in North Face.
Yeah, I'm like the North, like Patagonia. Okay, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Okay, let's say shoes then at least.
I think I would, if no money was an object, I would commit to one brand and have everything from them. I wouldn't be mixing.
Okay, what would that like, brand be then? Satisfy? Well, they don't make shoes.
It could be a Satisfy. It could be a band. I don't really know. I haven't honestly looked at enough gear because you go look at that stuff and you can't really afford it. I was looking at Normal, dude. Normal has some sick stuff that does look pretty good.
Finally, like, you're on board.
And they have shoes, too. So if you went top to bottom one brand, Normal would be a good one.
Normal
obviously,
would be sick,
it's
actually.
Made by, you know, it's all designed and like from the mind of the best ultra runner the world's ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, it's going to be good. I do like shorts that have built-in good pockets in the back. Like, mm-hmm. I have a couple shorts from Path Projects that I like a
Path
lot.
Path Projects is like, super good.
Because they
so
have
is,
some, just some pockets.
So is, like, Rabbit. They make, like, their lines
There's
are pretty
There's a lot
big.
Of good brands. It's just like obviously this question John comes G? From because it gets expensive.
John G is a good brand. I've never tried their stuff, but I've
never
heard
tried
good
their
things.
Stuff either.
I like some of it. Yeah, man. Money is a thing though. So I just hit the thrift store and get hand-me-down Brooks.
I would say like if you were to, like in terms of importance of gear, shoes. Socks, mm-hmm. shorts, because you
but
can in, run with the shirt it, off or you can run in cotton. But you
but
running in bad shorts sucks.
Importance of swag, I'd say hat and shirt and shoes. Yeah, actually, shoes are on swag and importance factor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's the
I don't
perfect
know.
Blend of swag and importance.
Yeah. So that's why. And when people get sponsored, it's usually by like the shoe brand. Typically.
Right. True.
It's like,
and everything else follows.
Yeah.
Like Hoka or something. Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Couple okay, more.
What is both your PRs in the half in the marathon distance? Well, Caleb doesn't know because he's never actually ran a road one. Loser. Or what would be your goal time if you were to train for a PR road marathon? That's a good question.
A goal time if I was to fully commit all out, no injuries,
you,
I sub 3.
You go sub 3. Yeah,
that'd
go,
be like
yeah,
the big.
Sub 3.
I'm right at the cusp of like that kind of runner where it's like that would be very hard, but it's definitely possible. So
right, a long road marathon definitely is something I want to do again. Not necessarily this year, but again. Yeah. I think I ran mine like 356, 354. It was sub 4, but it was like, dude, it was the jankiest marathon because like we had to like cross a railroad track, so we had to run up like 10 meters of like straight up, hop over a train or like a railroad, and then run down the other side. We had to like do that twice. So just like all these little things that slow you down that made it way harder. I also just blew it off my nutrition in the last 6 miles. I felt like the worst I've ever felt in my entire life. So I would love to run like a sub 330. I feel like that's doable for me, like a 320 something. You know, it's like
yeah,
like a sub 8, around an 8 minute average or something like that. I don't know, but yeah
I
think that I would
think-
be.
I think during this training block, so I am training for, the plan is to do the Chuckin' Up 50K if I make it on the sign-up list.
When is it again?
I have to sign up in a few days when it opens. It's March 14th.
Okay.
So it's going to be
Maybe
like,
I'll do it.
But it's just a 50K and I'm going to approach it like, It's cool because I think I might have said this on the pod, but the first 10K and the last 10K are on just a flat towpath, and then the middle 18 is where you do all the trails, single track.
A towpath?
Towpath, yeah.
But what is towpath?
That's what like runners call like a regular trail, I thought.
A towpath.
I think
I've never heard that in my life, but everyone knows I'm not a real runner. I'm like, you know, it's like Caleb's the real
okay,
runner.
Okay. Okay. Towpath. It's like, I just pulled it up on Wikipedia and it's like they,
that was fast.
Back when they used to tow like, oxen railroad. It's like next to like any town that has like a
when they
river
used to tow an ox and a railroad.
I can't multitask. It's where you have like a road. It's where you have like a trail that's been like an old railroad trail or something flat.
Is it like a forest road that's flat?
All right, let me just read it off Wikipedia. Yeah, geez, towpath, dude. T-O-W-P-A-T-H. It's a road helps. Or a trail on the bank of a river, canal, or another inland waterway. The purpose of the towpath is to allow a land vehicle, beasts of burden, or a team of human pullers to tow a boat, often a barge.
It's like dirt. It's like not like a concrete. It's like a dirt forest road.
Yeah. So it is. And so the towpath on the Chuckanut 50K is just a trail. It's just a flat like railroad grade trail. Anyways, so it's a great iconic race. You should definitely sign up and come up. That would be so cool if you trained and actually did it. Anyways. I don't even remember what I was talking about leading into that.
Questions. PR distance. But I think the next question.
The last question, and then we get Nick on.
Best tips for running with kids and favorite running stroller. So I have the Thule double stroller. I legitimately think it's a $700 stroller, but we didn't buy it. Sarah's parents bought it for us. Praise God.
Wow.
Because it would have been a lot of money. I think the problem with running strollers is like, yeah, like 700 bones. We use that thing a lot. I definitely recommend getting a nicer one because they're a lot lighter and they're a lot smoother. Because there are some chunky ones. Yeah, a Bob. There's also like a Jovi or like a there's like a brand that starts with a J.
If you want to run a lot with your kids and you have like, I don't have great access. I have one trail I could just load everyone up, but you can go from your house, right?
I mean, I crush it with the kids. Like I put the kids, that's like literally how I spend my time with them.
But you go from your house, right? From the door?
We drive to my in-laws, which is like three quarter of miles away, right by the beach trail. What we do is we call it Run Park Run. So I've turned it into this thing where I go, hey,
we talked about this already.
We're going to, he asked the question. We're going to Run Park Run.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, I'm answering a question, bro. Relax. And we run, and then we go to the park, and then we run again. Now, the thing that they get to do is play at the park. The thing that you get to do is run. So, but we'll also sometimes like run ice cream run, or like run, go to the swings run. It's like that we turn it into a game where like they kind of get to decide. And what I do is when I have the kids, and I got like 4 hours to kill, like I go on long, slow runs. Like I'll go crush like 5.5 miles and bring a ton of snacks, a ton of water, an extra jacket for them, and basically just turn it into this little adventure. Now that the kids are a little older, they like to get out of the stroller, so I give them opportunities to run with me, or like there's this little hill that Towns and Lou always want to run up as we're coming back home, and I just make it fun for them and like make it more interactive.
Nice.
At the end of the day, they're just sitting there enjoying the view, and somehow that isn't good enough for a child, which is just a crime because it sounds so fun. But yeah, just making it fun for them, having a lot of food, and having the expectation that you're going to stop a lot. Because I feel like if you're trying to like go get it and like send it pretty hard, and mm-hmm. your kids are like, you know, I need water, I need this. It's like you're going to get really frustrated, and you want to make it fun for them.
Nice. I kind of blacked out that whole time you were talking, which is good because I was getting the link ready to send to Nick.
Okay,
so,
cool. Okay, let's call Nick.
Let's call Nick. All right, now we are back. Quick break. We are here with the homie, Nick Sept, fairly fresh off a 100-mile finish. And just wanted to get him on the pod, friend of ours, and see what's up.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Yeah, dude's like, I'm doing well. Finally here with the dads. Listen to y'all a lot, so it's fun to finally be on.
Nice. Well, you ran a lot more this race than you ran with us when we ran that one time in Dallas. Like, what was it, 2 years ago? We ran like 5 miles together or something in the rain.
Yeah. That was fun.
That
we
was
saw
fun.
Some wild hogs too.
We did. It's the most like Texas thing ever.
Right. Wait. Dude, so yeah. What was?
Yeah, 100 miles, bro. Let's talk about it.
And talk about the fact that you've. This is your third attempt, right?
Yes.
Third attempt. Okay. So let's just hear it. I'll just jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So last weekend I ran the Dinosaur Valley 100 miler at Dinosaur Valley State Park in Glen Rose, Texas. So this was my third attempt at 100 miles the last 2 years. So a couple of weeks prior to this, and then the year prior, I ran the Lake Murray endurance run in Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Unfortunately, just that it's a cursed weekend for bad weather. We got inches and inches of rain. It just turned into a big mud fest. I was running. I post some videos online, but I was running in like literally like pudding style mud and rivers the whole time.
Oh, jeez.
What were you thinking? Like, you were like, up until what point were you like, I'm gonna get this done no matter what? And then when did you like, with that mud, just be like, screw it?
Mostly when I came around almost to the 100K mark and I realized that I wasn't gonna make the next cutoff.
Okay.
For the next 5 mile loop.
Okay.
How many finishers were there? Finishers.
Three finishers.
Oh, three?
Yeah.
Bro, the conditions were like mud.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Okay. So the fact that you made it 100K, I guess, like how many people were left when you were like, how many people didn't make the cutoff with you?
So there was 40 signed up for the 100 miler and three finished. So,
okay. So gnarly.
A lot of strong runners called it that day too. So, I mean, I didn't feel as bad calling it that 100K.
And this was a year ago, you said?
No, this was a couple weeks ago.
Interesting. So you kind of went back to back attempts almost.
Yeah, it's a little confusing because the same thing happened year over year. I ran Lake Murray in 2022 and 2023 and made it to 100K both times, both with bad mud years. So
wild.
Okay.
Kind of the same story.
Yeah.
How was the new? Okay, so let's go back to the current race. I guess like what. Like the first 20 miles, like what's going through your head? I need to understand what it feels like. Like are there stages of where you're like, okay, I've made it a 50K, I feel good, but I have, you know,
or when did it start to really not feel good?
Yeah, like, or when does it start? When do the wheels kind of come off? Like all that.
Well, I think some of my big takeaways are running 100K. A couple weeks prior in that crazy mud, like gave my body no time to recover.
Right.
So I ran twice between the last race and then this race and just tried to send it really and go for it and hope,
sick.
I could do it. Like I said, I wasn't recovered. So I went out there and immediately probably almost to the end of the first loop. So like the first 8 miles, I started to feel a lot of IT pain in my right leg.
Oh, geez.
And it was like really radiating into my right knee. And man, I'd probably say miles like 8 to 35 were in extreme pain. And my right leg was like almost completely locked up, but I was there. I was there to finish.
So
man.
Wait. Like, so what happened after 35? Because obviously you got 65 miles left.
Finally warmed up.
Yeah. Like did it go away?
Yes. I was there to finish. Just mind over matter, really. And it started to loosen up a little bit. Feet started to hurt, so I had something else to think about.
Not finishing 2 weeks before definitely probably gave you some gas in the tank to be like, no matter, like, we are getting this done if I don't hit, like, a cutoff.
Right, it's kind of like third time's a charm, like, and there's not insane mud, so it's like, now's the time.
For sure. Like, there was nothing but my mind that wasn't going to let me finish. It was, like, perfect conditions, the course was, you know, runnable, hikeable. There's nothing that would have kept me except for being too slow and missing the cutoff, I guess, that was going to prevent me from getting it. And plus that mental motivation of, you know, putting in more training than I ever have, DNFing twice, and then coming into this third try was...
Bro, I feel like you're such a real ultra runner now. Not that you haven't been, but like just hearing you talk, it's like, yeah, a couple DNFs running like... it's just like, dang, dude, you're doing it, man. Well, seriously...
Good.
Massive congrats. Well, I don't want to like already end it, but I want to talk about like what did you do for nutrition and like what was the overall time? You get 27 hours, something like that, or
Overall time, so the Strava time's not right because that does moving time only. So my overall time was like 33 hours, 50 minutes.
Okay.
Solid.
Yeah. One thing I will say too is like after running 100K a couple of times, the difference between 100K and 100 miles is like 5X. I swear.
I've heard that, bro. Okay. I've heard that.
So that's much interesting.
Yeah.
It's so and much different.
When I did my first 100K too, I was like going from like, up until that point, I think I'd only done 50K. It was like, dang, this is so much longer as well. Totally. So I can't, those later miles just, they compound, I'm sure, with everything, fatigue, nutrition. It only compounds if you're not like super into them.
Dialed in. What was your nutrition game for this?
So recently I've been trying to fuel with more real food. So I've kind of been going in with like Clif bars, applesauce, bananas, Lara bars. I will supplement with some gels. The race was sponsored by Goo, so they had a lot of Goos out there and the Goo Chews. I had never had the Goo Chews before, but I'm someone that will try something new on race day.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, same. You just pull the rug out from underneath it all and start eating shit. Yeah.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it worked well for me. One of the coolest things out there that they had at the aid station was some like avocado spread on a tortilla. I mean, that was good. Kind of
some like good
fats. I would definitely go back for that.
Totally, I'd definitely go back for that.
just for that.
Yeah,
that's good.
So you ate like just as much as possible, really, or were you just like were you keeping to a schedule?
Yeah, so I set a reminder on my watch every 30 minutes to try to stay on that schedule. It seems kind of ridiculous in the beginning, just because you're like, I feel like I haven't done anything
but it's
yet.
Not.
But
it's like, it's so necessary.
It's not
like, ridiculous. It's like how you finish is literally by doing it from the beginning. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 100%. You have to set that plan and you have to stick with that plan. And even when you don't want to, you need to shovel it back and make sure it's in, because if you fall behind, you're way behind.
Right. Yeah. It kind of snowballs. I mean, I've obviously never ran close to 100 miles, but in my, you know, in the marathon distance, my 50K was like the difference between my diet or like how much I ate in each one was like very different. Like in my marathon, I ate horribly, did not follow schedule at all, and like totally died. And then in my ultra, I felt good the whole time. Like I had salt in my sweat as I was finishing and like could tell. And I was like, okay, I nailed the nutrition part of this at least. So that felt good. You know,
did you have to deal with like sleep deprivation at all? Like, how did that go?
I didn't really have too much sleep deprivation. I had a pacer with me for about 50 miles. And
nice.
Like, we listened to some music.
It's a big day for them, too. Gosh.
Like, it was his first 50 miler. So that was kind of fun.
That is.
We just chatted and hung out. And, like, I was really motivated to see the, like, full dark of the night and the sun come up the next day. That was something I really wanted to experience. So I really wasn't tired. I was taking in some caffeine from like gels and stuff and like Coca-Cola and whatnot, but
So for you, like, where do you get that kind of that deep motivation from?
I don't really have like a specific why or anything, you know, like a lot of people are like, find your why. I don't know if I necessarily have that.
I think
something that like really excites me is just signing up for something that I don't know that I can do, you know, standing on that start line and just being like, I don't know how today is going to go, but I'm going to give it my all and just like see what happens.
Bro, I was waiting for Nick to be like, have you heard of David Goggins? Like, I do it for David. I do it for Goggins.
Nick and I, we did the 4x4x48 Goggins challenge the same time that one year. And that was that was the hardest, like, as far as like the sleep fatigue. I hated the 4 a.m. and the midnight wake ups were really hard for me. So I'm like, that's why when I do anything longer distance, I'm like, I know I'm going to have to deal with the sleep, being a little baby.
Yeah.
That's a whole different element.
I feel like that was more rough though, because you kind of had those breaks. I mean, I was like trying to just keep on it and keep going the whole time. I feel like I didn't really have a time to get tired. Yeah. And, you know, I don't necessarily recommend it, but I actually drove home after the race too. So you know, I was still just delirious. On vibes and all hyped just up. So
yeah, just on vibes, enough adrenaline to like to get you home.
Heard. I know you had you're you know, you're into the shoe tech a little bit, but didn't you say you were in Speed Goats? You went back.
Dude, I did go back to the Speed Goat. I've been wearing the Brooks Cascadia for a while, but put on the Speed Goat again, and it's been tried and true for me before. So
yeah,
did you keep the same pair of shoes the whole race, or did you change shoes?
Yeah, same pair of shoes.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah, because I've seen people change shoes a lot, and I'm always curious as if it's like,
I think if they get really wet too, or like,
yeah, it's like maybe. If they run through water or like just getting a hot spot somewhere and just like, okay, I want to like change my shoe to like not just to mitigate that. What was the rest of your fit like? What were you fitted with?
Man, like nothing super techy or anything. I just had like,
He's like, a pair of jeans.
A pair of jeans, yeah. A
pair of Wranglers.
New Balance.
Yeah.
I really like the Exoskin underliner. Those have always worked really well for me. So that's kind of a non-negotiable when I'm out running.
Okay.
You know, I've got those, what do they call it? Athletic build thighs. So they kind of a little closer together. So the Exoskin liners really prevents any chafing there, and I really like Dry Max socks. Those are some things that I always run in.
Okay.
And other than that, I had some 10,000 shorts on.
Oh, okay. Nice. I've seen those.
Yeah, I like those just because of the pockets.
Is that like the Kevin Hart? No. I was like, Kevin Hart ad that I always get on Instagram.
That's Fabletics.
Right.
10,000s is 10, like it's a little bit more of that like hybrid athlete. They got that some like weightlifting bodybuilding approach, but they make a distance short.
They do make a distance short. However, that's not the one I have.
Oh, gotcha.
But I don't know.
He's got like the CrossFit short. We're rocking like 7 inches, 5 inches, 3 inches.
I'm usually a 5 inch or less.
Yeah. I mean, that's just that. It's hard to go any shorter than that for me as well. You know, 5 inches is perfect.
Yeah.
What would you say, I guess, your three main takeaways are for someone that wants to run 100 and is a little bit too scared? And what's your main takeaways there?
I think I kind of explained it a little bit earlier. Like, just sign up and go for it. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're not going to finish, and you're going to learn a ton along the way. Dial in your nutrition and hydration as best you can. Overdo it, overfuel, overhydrate. And lastly, I think one of the most important things too is to, like, I'm big on community. So we have a couple of local running groups here, the Team Dirt Invert and Dallas Dirt Runners, that, man, like, I had so much support on the course out there.
Oh,
it was
cool.
Ridiculous. Just above and beyond the volunteers that were there, who was great, but just people that came out there to spend their entire weekend just helping other people reach their goals was honestly mind blowing. So, I mean, when you have that kind of backing, and it's hard to not get what you came for.
That's cool. Are you gonna do another one?
Yeah, so I'm signed up for some pretty cool stuff next year.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah.
So far, I'm signed up for Bandera 100K. So that's here in January 13th down in Bandera, Texas.
Golden. That's a golden ticket race.
Yeah, I was
saying,
I've heard of that race. That's like a more popular one for sure. There's probably going to be some fast people there too, which will be cool.
Yeah. Courtney DeWalter ran there last year. That's where she got the golden ticket from.
Uh-huh.
That's a race in the hill country. Got some good hills out there, rocks. Then a couple months after that, in March, I'm signed up for the Grasslands 100 miler. That's just a local 100 miler out here. It's there.
There's so many races in Texas. I'm like, all these races are in
so
Texas.
Many.
I'm like, what? This is crazy. I mean, it's a big state. So
there's a huge ultra running community out here, and multiple race companies and tons of races. But the Grasslands 100 miler was my first marathon. So I've never ran a traditional road marathon, but I ran a trail marathon, and this was my first one out at Grasslands. And this is the first year that they're doing the 100 mile race out there.
Whoa,
so
Caleb,
it'd be fun to,
is that
like,
you, bro? Is Caleb signed up for the Grasslands 100 miler?
Not in March, baby.
Oh yeah, I guess not.
But yeah, so that's going to be fun. A lot of people I know are doing that one, inaugural year for it.
Cool.
And they a lot of other races out there. But the big thing next year is I signed up for the Sedona 125. That's the back half of Cocodona.
Sick. Whoa. Dude, let's go.
That's cool.
So I'm really stoked on that.
Wow, you got a big list, dude. Those are all chunky ones.
Have you done an Era Viper race before?
No. I really want to get out there and do stuff, though. So I guess this will be my shot at going out.
And then you're going to do Cocodona the following year, aren't you? The full Cocodona.
Isn't it? It's 250.
It's
250 miles, yeah.
That is Nick insane. Is the kind of person that is like the ultra lover, dude. I can just tell.
Oh, I will. I'll definitely sign up for a 200 miler someday.
Yeah, what a beast.
That's sick.
I am looking for some pacers for May, though, in Cocodona. So.
Oh, okay.
So are you're obviously like, what's cool about like, you're in the kind of the slipstream of doing all these hundreds, 100Ks, like your fitness, you just kind of carry that over, right? So you're really like maintaining a pretty solid fitness, or do you like peak, do you like do blocks?
I would say that this last block was probably the most serious I've been about an actual training block and scheduling like really long back-to-back training runs. Plus I've been putting in a ton of miles on the bike too. Mm-hmm. The bike's cool. A really great way to add volume. Like I would go out and do like a 50 mile bike ride and then I'd, you know, have a 20, 25 mile run the next day.
Dang.
So
cool.
Adding in big volume like that, mm-hmm. can save the legs, but you know, still simulate some of that long stress.
That's awesome. Yeah, exactly. Save the joints.
What was your training block? Like how long was like the official block? Obviously you were running probably leading up to it, but was it 4 months, 2 months, like what longer? Like,
let's see. My real training block was, I guess, for like Halloween. So yeah, probably I'd say it's from July. So about 3 months, July to October.
Okay, so like your classic kind of 12-week like ramp up into the race. Okay.
Yeah, because I maintain base and you know go do fun long runs on the weekend. I'm mostly like if someone is like, hey, let's go out to this trail and run for 4 hours. I'll be there. You know, I'm right. not like super. I'm not someone who's like, oh, I have to run like 4.76 miles today.
Yeah.
I've never been like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Dang. Well, that's sick, man. I mean, so that's your, and then anything else after that?
Nothing scheduled after that. I mean, that feels like a really big undertaking.
Yeah,
to me.
Like, that's like a year and a half out, right?
It's like hard to think after that, but then.
No. You're scheduled. No, it's just all next year. The Cocodona.
That's all next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things are all next year.
Oh, okay. So if there's any Striders listening and you want to pace Nick in Phoenix area.
Yeah.
Let me know.
I would love to get down. My last question, what was the biggest amount of miles you put in on feet, like, or like running and on the bike? Like what was your peak mileage in your training block?
On the bike was 100 miles. Okay. I did a local bike race around here in August and then on my feet, it wasn't more than 50K. Maybe even a little bit less, 30
it was
miles.
It was the 100K in the mud 2 weeks
yeah,
before.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, on it, that's what it was.
Yeah, I wonder how much fitness that really built. I mean, obviously you came in tired from that, though, but like putting in, you know, 60-some-odd miles the week before and then taking 2 weeks off and then going to hit it might have been like an actual – that might have helped. I don't know.
It might have. Yeah.
Also,
wait,
like,
dang, so you never ran more than like 40 miles essentially in any of those weeks.
The month prior to my taper, I was averaging like 50 or 60 miles a week.
Okay, there we go. Okay, cool. But normally, you never ran more than a 50K in one go.
In one sitting, yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, I'm always so curious just because it's like. It's like obviously on race day you can run farther. You know, you have your adrenaline, you have the nutrition, the whole race is set up, like you're excited. It's easier to run farther on race day, but still like just going from, you know, running a 50K to then running 100 miles in one sitting, like that's such a big jump. That's what it's mind-blowing to me. But congrats, dude. That's awesome. You're a monster.
Yeah, anything else you want to say to our massive audience?
Man, whatever the sign off is, keep striding.
Yeah, I don't even know it, bro.
Keep the stride alive.
Keep the stride alive, yeah.